We read Psalm 103 this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We read thus far the divinely inspired scripture. The text for the sermon this morning is Psalm 103, verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, there must be an explanation for that statement contained in the text. For on the surface of it, and upon a first reading of it, it appears to contradict everything the Scripture teaches and deny the justice of God. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. There has to be an explanation for that. Leviticus chapter 20 speaks of all kinds of adulterous relationships that are forbidden, and then the punishment of God, so that, for example, we read, shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them, and they shall be burnt with fire. But then most significantly, we read these statements in that same chapter, verse 17. He shall bear his iniquity. Verse 19, they shall bear their iniquity. Verse 20, they shall bear their sin. Concerning every form of violation of the seventh commandment, the Mosaic law of Leviticus chapter 20 says, if you sin, you must bear your sin, and you will be punished. for that sin. And what the Mosaic law says there in Leviticus 20, it says concerning all the law of God, every violation of it, you sin, you will bear your sin, and you will be punished. Of the breaking of a ceremonial law, Numbers 9 verse 13 states, that man shall bear his sin. Leviticus 24 verse 15, whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin. And of course he would be stoned. The Mosaic law was so clear. If you sin, you will bear your sin and the due punishment for it. The text appears to contradict the Mosaic law and the Scripture's revelation to us of Jehovah God as a just and righteous God who rewards sinners with the due punishment they deserve for their sin, judgment. According to the text, sinners do not bear their sins, and sinners are not rewarded for their sins. Has God changed? Does God now minimize sin? Does he overlook sin and explain sin away? What if parents did that? They made laws, they made rules for their children, and then their children disobey all the rules, and the parents minimize that? Try to explain away the disobedience of their children? Even try to justify the disobedience of their children? The Mosaic law would lead us to conclude that the only way God can be the God the Scripture reveals him to be, the only way the law can be kept is if God punishes sinners for their sins. The text appears to be a contradiction until the psalmist David looks by faith at that sin bearer he brought to the temple, that lamb who was slain and is now burning in the flames of the altar. It appears to be a contradiction until we look by faith at the cross of Jesus Christ and the elements as they are before us on the table this morning, a broken body and a shed blood. The Mosaic law is kept. The justice of God is perfect. There is someone who bears the sin. There is someone who is rewarded with the punishment that sin deserves, and it is not you, nor is it I. It is Jesus Christ. He bears what we ought to bear for his sake. God does not deal with us as he ought. Let's consider that truth for a few moments this morning. The truth of Psalm 103 verse 10 under the theme, not as he ought, not as he ought. Notice first the truth itself, second the reason for it, and third the response to it. Sins and iniquities. That is how we are identified in the text. That is the text description of us, not our inherent righteousness and our goodness, but our sins and our iniquities. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities, sins. That word sin there is the most common word for sin in the Bible, and it literally means to miss the mark. God is the mark. The name of God is the mark. The glory of God is the mark. And God says to us, I gave you a heart and a mind and soul and strength and a body. And I said unto you, with the whole of your being and in everything you say, in everything you think, and in everything you do, aim for the mark of my glory. And now we think about all of the things we have said, and all of the things we have done, and all of the things we have thought, and who we are by nature. we have missed the mark. Not only have we missed the mark, deliberately and willingly, we have turned all the way around so that we do not aim at God, but aim at ourselves. I will think that which is good for me, and I will say that which benefits me, and I will do that which is good for me, and not God. And that's what we do out of our sinful flesh. We sin. We miss the mark of God's glory. Sins. Iniquities. The word iniquities in the text is another word for sin. This word does not emphasize so much sin as a violation of the law or as something that harms other people, but this particular word translated iniquity emphasizes the folly of sin. And it emphasizes the nature of sin to be such that sin always proves unprofitable to the doer. No matter how seemingly little or how seemingly big the sin may be, it always proves to be unprofitable. Sin promises much. Sin delivers misery. Always proves to be unprofitable. This is the text description of us this morning. Sinners who sin and who commit iniquity. And the emphasis is not upon others and those outside. In the ungodly world, we speak of our sins and our iniquities. And there are many of them. Sins, plural. Iniquities, plural. But this, beloved, is the blessed truth of the text. God does not deal with us as he ought on account of our sins. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. That means he doesn't do to us what he could do and what we deserve. He hath not rewarded us according to our iniquities. The word reward there obviously doesn't refer to something good. It refers to the just recompense that our sins deserve. God has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. The relationship between the two verbs is very clear, dealing with and rewarding. God deals with sin. How does God deal with sin? By rewarding sin with the judgment it deserves. We have sinned. We have committed iniquities. God must deal with us, but he has not dealt with us as he ought, by punishing us in his wrath. Not as he ought. Now let us not misunderstand. God certainly deals with us after and according to our sin. He does. He does not deal with us as he ought in punishment, but he deals with us after our sins. Verse 9, he chides, not always, but he chides, he rebukes, he admonishes in love. The psalmist himself knew that God did not deal with him as he ought in punishing him, but God did deal with him according to his sins and made him miserable and turned his moisture into the drought of summer for a period of some 9 months as he lived impenitently. The prophet Jonah knew the same thing. God did not deal with him as he ought in punishing him, but he dealt with him after his sins. He troubled him on his way to Tarshish. He has not dealt with us as he ought. He may chide and rebuke in love, but he does not punish us for our sins, not as he ought. What ought he to do? How ought he to deal with our punishment? What reward ought we to receive for our sins and iniquities? David knows. Every Israelite knows. You and I know. I hope we're all willing to say this morning, because if we're not, we will not appreciate the text. Say this with me. In your heart. How ought he to deal with us? In wrath, he ought to open up the great fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven and send violent torrents of water to thrash and drown Israel and us. In wrath, he ought to send fire and brimstone down from heaven to destroy Israel, David's Jerusalem, and Hope Church so that we smolder like Sodom. Will you say that? In wrath, he ought to send the angel of death through this camp so that tonight all of the firstborn of the congregation are slain. In wrath, he ought to lead Israel and us through a Red Sea and drown us. In wrath, he ought to open up the earth and swallow Israel and all of us alive. In wrath, he ought to give to each one of us our own personal cup of his everlasting judgment and say, "Drink ye all of it." In wrath, he ought to slay us immediately and cast us into outer darkness, into the lake of everlasting fire where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And if he does not destroy us immediately, he ought to torment us, our heart and our conscience and our body, every moment of our lives, and then destroy us in hell. I hope you will say that, beloved, in your heart. And that not because our God is a cruel, hate-filled, barbarous potentate who rubs his hands in glee at an opportunity to destroy sinners, but because our God is holy and he hates sin. He hates sin more than we will ever comprehend. God is holy. God hates sin. And if somehow we were able to approach unto the sun and touch it and see it in all of its brightness and its heat, we would still not be able to comprehend how much Jehovah God hates sin as a pure and holy God. And we have sinned. We have so many sins and so many iniquities. We ought to be cursed and damned everlastingly. Have you ever beheld so beautiful a knot? Have you ever laid your eyes upon so glorious and holy and lovely and comforting a nor? He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He never has. He has never dealt with Israel and David by rewarding them. He has never dealt with you and me by rewarding us according to our iniquities, and he never will. He never will. So that when we are dismissed from the judgment hall on the last great day of judgment, we will leave saying, "He hath not dealt with me after my sins, nor rewarded me according to my iniquities." It's negative. It's all negative. There's a positive that he's brought us into his everlasting covenant with our children to live with him forever in heaven. But the will of God is that we focus this morning on the negative, because there's enough in the negative, just in the negative, to move us to praise and adoration. What he has not done unto us, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. A blessed truth. The reason for this truth is found in two words, and the first word is Jesus, of course. Jesus. What Adam and his son Abel saw by faith as they looked at the blood coming out of that animal on the ground. What the Israelites saw and believed by faith as they saw blood sprinkled on their doorpost. What David saw and believed by faith as he brought that sin-bearer lamb to the tabernacle to be slain and put on the altar. What we know and believe by faith as we look at the cross and the elements of the table before us this morning, it's Jesus. He's the reason. He's the explanation for the text. God is just and holy. He will deal with sin. He will bring the reward and the punishment of sin. But He will bring it upon a sin bearer who stands in our place as our substitute. And that's the blessed Lord, our Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. He's the explanation for the text. So that we must read, He hath dealt with Jesus after my sins and rewarded Jesus according to my iniquities in wrath. He will open up the fountains of the deep and send torrents of water from heaven to thrash and drown more than the wicked. In wrath, He will send fire and brimstone down from heaven to destroy more than Sodom and Gomorrah. In wrath, He will send the angel of death through the camp to destroy more than Pharaoh's firstborn. In wrath, He will drown in the sea more than the obstinate Pharaoh and his hosts. In wrath, He will open up the earth and swallow alive more than the impenitent rebels in Israel. In wrath, He will hang from a tree and burn on an altar more than a cursed criminal and an animal. In wrath, He will bring the torments and weeping and gnashing of teeth and the everlasting fire of hell upon more than the reprobate. In wrath, He brings the fullness of His judgment revealed in all of those ways upon one person, and especially during the last 6 hours of His life, Jesus. All that wrath of God revealed and pictured in all of those ways, it all comes upon Jesus Christ, and He bore it in our place. For Jesus' sake, God has not and never will deal with us as He ought. And that's the testimony of the table this morning, beloved. Remember that. As you take the bread and you take the wine, remember that He has not dealt with me as He ought, because He has dealt with Jesus. And indeed, we will leave the judgment hall on the last day saying, He hath dealt with Jesus after my sins and rewarded Jesus according to my iniquities. Not as He ought, for Jesus' sake. The reason for the truth of this text is explained by one word, Jesus, and a second word, and this goes even deeper, mercy. Mercy. God's own mercy. Why has He not dealt with us as He ought? Because He is a God of mercy. Let no man blaspheme our God in heaven by saying He is a hate-filled, cruel, barbarous potentate who rubs His hands in glee at an opportunity to destroy a sinner. The testimony of Scripture is that the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. And that's the testimony of the table and the testimony of the cross. Not only the revelation of His holiness and righteousness and His hatred for sin, but the revelation of His mercy. So merciful is God towards sinners that He gives His only begotten and beloved Son to the death of the cross for us. Mercy. Mercy. He has not dealt with us as He ought. Why? Jesus. Why? Deeper? His mercy that gave us Jesus. Our response, of course. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And now David describes the benefits all through the psalm. And here's another. He, God, has not dealt with us as He ought. How then do we respond? We bless and praise His great name. The great fear is that He will deal with us as He ought. The great comfort is that He has not dealt with us as He ought, nor will He. He deals with sin once. Once. God does not deal with sin twice. He deals once. And do not fear if you have committed some sin in the past and God has forgiven you, and now you perhaps struggle and live in doubt and worry, will God punish me? He punishes sin once. And the testimony of the gospel and this table is that He has punished our sins in Christ. And because He is just, He will never come and reward us with the judgment we deserve. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let the heart be filled with praise. Beloved, if you want your heart to be filled with praise, and if I do, then we ought to pause for just a moment and block out everything. Everything in our lives, and pause and contemplate how great God's hatred for sin is and what He ought to do to us. And remember by faith, He has not. He has not. He has not dealt with us as He ought. He dealt with Jesus. And not only that, all the positive merits of Christ become ours. Not as He ought, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, bind this precious word of the gospel to our hearts. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.